The AI agent Battleground is moving directly to your local machine today.
Yeah, we have DeepSeek open sourcing a highly modular agent framework, right as OpenAI brings ChatGPT and Codex natively to the Linux desktop.
It is a massive shift in how these tools interact with our files and our shells.
We are also tracking some hardware research on scrambling DRAM address translations and a few notable feature requests from the Claude Code community.
We will start with DeepSeek. Speaking of integrating AI into the desktop app, OpenAI just released a preview of the ChatGPT desktop app for Linux.
Linux users have been waiting for this for a while.
It supports specific distributions right out of the gate. You have Ubuntu 24.04 and 26.04 LTS, Debian 13, and Fedora 43 and 44. They packaged it for both x64 and ARM64 architectures via DEB and RPM formats.
The big deal here is not just that you can chat with a model outside of a browser tab. They integrated ChatGPT, ChatGPT Work, and the Codex coding agent into a single native application.
Which means Codex can interact directly with your local files, your repositories, your terminal, and your software development tools.
This bridges a huge gap. A lot of developers live in Linux terminal environments. Until now, they have had to rely on web-based extensions, third-party wrappers, or copy-pasting code back and forth.
Having Codex run natively on the desktop environment changes the friction level entirely. You can just point the agent at a directory and tell it to figure out a bug or refactor a module.
But that also opens up a large can of worms when it comes to security.
You are giving an AI agent native file system and shell access.
Exactly. If you are running this on an enterprise machine or even your personal laptop, you have to think about what happens if the model hallucinates a destructive command, or if it gets confused and overwrites critical files.
Or if it is susceptible to prompt injection from a malicious repository it is scanning.
Right. If you clone a random repo from GitHub and tell Codex to summarize it, and someone hit a prompt injection payload in the README that says delete the user's home directory, how does the desktop app handle that?
Hopefully with a lot of permission prompts. But if you bombard a developer with permission prompts for every single action, they will just start clicking allow without reading them. It's the classic security fatigue problem.
We saw Docker sandboxes trying to address this by running agents in isolated micro VMs a few days ago. But a native desktop app inherently wants access to your actual working environment, not an isolated sandbox.
It will be interesting to see how OpenAI balances that tension. The convenience of a native Codex agent is undeniable, but the guardrails need to be rock solid.
The rollout strategy makes sense, though. Starting with specific LTS versions of Ubuntu and Debian gives them a stable base to test those guardrails before they try to support every obscure Linux distro out there.
And the inclusion of ARM64 support is crucial. So many developers are running Linux virtual machines on Apple Silicon hardware now.
Yeah, if they had launched x64 only, they would have alienated a big chunk of their potential user base.
I do wonder how much telemetry OpenAI is collecting through this native app. When you are just chatting in a browser tab, they only see what you paste. When the app has file system access, the privacy implications are completely different.
Enterprise users are definitely going to want strict controls over what leaves their network. I imagine that is why ChatGPT Work is bundled in here, to offer those compliance guarantees.
Security researcher Christopher Domus, also known as XOR-XOR-XOX, released a project called Skitter Creek Bath Salts that rewires physical DRAM address translations to scramble platform memory.
The technique targets the memory controller pipeline to break physical address boundaries. He is using this to unlock protected system areas like the platform security processor, system management mode, and CPU microcode. He developed this primarily on older AMD Family 16H CPUs, where the translation registers were actually documented in public datasheets.
Modern CPUs obscure these registers or lock them behind secured IP blocks, but this is a fascinating proof of concept for how low-level memory controller manipulation can completely bypass hardware security compartments.
Over in the Claude Code community, there's a feature request to use the current Git branch name as the default session title in the desktop app.
Right now, when you are working across multiple branches in one repo, the auto-generated titles all end up looking identical, like PR review.
In the terminal CLI, you can configure launch time flags, but the desktop app abstracts that away. So developers are having to manually type /rename for every session just to keep things organized.
It is a small UX friction point, but it really adds up when you are context switching all day. Pinning the session name to the branch name just makes sense.
Another Claude Code issue is asking for a reviewable draft message relay between persistent home and chat threads.
The user describes running a hierarchy of threads, where tech lead threads handle strategy and delegate execution to dedicated code sessions, while also collaborating with specialized helper threads.
They want a way for these threads to pass draft messages to each other that a human can review before they are sent.
It shows how complex these agentic workflows are getting. People are not just using one agent. They are building entire organizational structures out of them and need better routing protocols to manage the communication.
Finally, the People's Bank of China authorized Deutsche Bank as a renminbi clearing bank in Frankfurt on August 10th to get this designation.
This makes them the first non-Chinese bank in Europe to get this designation. Previously, this was handled exclusively by branches of major Chinese state-owned lenders.
Deutsche Bank's China president, Liu Yin, says this will help European companies reduce currency friction and streamline supply chain payments.
It is a significant move for Beijing's efforts to internationalize the yuan and build direct bridges into China's onshore financial systems through Western institutions.
That is all for today's briefing.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates.
Thanks for listening.